AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Relegators! Mount up! Welcome back to the Relegators Podcast. My name is Phil, and this is a pod where me and my best bud, Carl, go over top-tier promotion relegation in English soccer. Carl, how was your week?
Oh, it was pretty good. I think I made a discovery about myself. I discovered that my favorite food is pork. And it's just, I think it tastes the best. It's most versatile, chorizo, sausage, pork chops, all sorts of stuff. So I've decided that I'm going to start a travel food show, and it's going to be called Porkin' Across America.
I knew it.
How about you? How's your week?
Oh yeah, I just drink a whole lot of pig's blood. That's what they call a local ritual.
Make the fine people of Indiana. What about you? How's your week?
My week was good. Hung out with you most of the weekend, so maybe it wasn't so good.
Hey, buddy. You know what? We haven't been hanging out as much besides this doing this. So we need to get back on the video games train.
Yeah.
We need to find a game to play. It could be one of the sports games, or it could be something else. I don't know what, but co-op Stardew. But we need to. I miss those days.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. Yeah, I'm with you. Let's get it going.
Let's get it going now. Let's it could be any game. We could pick one and play it once, and then say fuck it, and then switch to another one, or we could make a franchise like we like to do. So I don't.
Cool, cool. Yeah, I've been looking to get into this game called Eyes Wide Shut.
That's a game? I thought that was a movie about
sport. Carl, we need to start the action. We start Friday at the MKM Stadium when we go to Hull City over Middlesbrough. Hull City, big time underdogs in this one. In the 9th minute, Middlesbrough pressing, and the ball finds David Strelick, who turns around and shoots one topside. Middlesbrough go up 1-0 in the 32nd minute. Hull can't clear the ball, and it goes to Alex Gilbert, who nails one bottom corner. Middlesbrough up 2-0 in the 35th minute. Burrow again pressing, and Morgan Whittaker takes his time and blasts it just inside the post to go up 3-0. Carl, in the 44th minute, it's Riley McGree's turn as he gets a shot in the middle of the box that doesn't stop. 4-0 for Middlesbrough in the 61st minute. Middlesbrough keeper Solbrin takes out Joel Gerhardt in the box, and Hull are awarded the penalty. Gerhardt finishes the job 1-4. 4-1 Middlesbrough, kind of weak penalty at the end. Didn't really matter.
Yep, Pedro Feliz consolation goal. Middlesbrough just bombed on him in the first half. Like, that was a dominant performance. I'd have to look at the numbers to see if they reflect that, but I'm sure they do. Whittaker.
I can tell you 10 shots, 6 on target for Middlesbrough, 2-2 for Hull. So
yeah,
One of their two on goal. Oh, actually, not none of their two on goal made it. Their one goal was a penalty.
Yeah, so I mean, a good statement win for Middlesbrough
Big time.
to they're near the top, so cleaning up against these teams on the road, like, that's awesome. Whitaker had a nice pass in the box for goal number one. And then when he scored his goal, another of my favorite failed knee slides
Saw
celebration.
that. Thought of you.
Yep, just face planted. It was glorious. And then I thought the announcer, after it got to 4-0, the announcer said something that I thought that I liked. He had a quote. He said, "It's 4-0 now, and the home fans have already begun voting with their feet." By meaning they're leaving.
I got it.
Okay. I wasn't sure. The British, they're kind of, cheeky sometimes. It can be a little hard to understand, but
Yeah, that wasn't so much.
I liked it. I liked voting with your feet. That's I enjoyed that. But
Yeah, says all your ex-girlfriends.
They all voted with their feet.
We go to the Ashen Gate where Bristol City took on Millwall. Carl, no action till the 59th minute when Millwall are pressing and a couple of saves from Bristol's goalkeeper. But the ball finally finds Mihailo Ivanovic and he puts Millwall up 1-0, and that's how they take the game.
A few notes on this one, despite it just being kind of a run-of-the-mill 1-0. When the announcers did give us a Femi Aziz two bites at the cherry.
He did have two bites.
Actually, no, the announcer didn't say it. I just thought of it, like, when I was watching it. I'm like, oh, two bites at the cherry right there. And Aziz blocked a point-blank shot. The announcer didn't think that he realized he was doing it. He was just kind of standing in the way, and it hit him in, like, the side of the leg. But, right place, right time. And Max Krokholm, the goalie for Millwall, had a huge fingertip save on a shot towards the end of the match that just deflected a ground ball wide and then saved the 3 points. And then there was a huge brawl after the game. Did you see that? Do you see it?
No.
Yeah. So there weren't any. The managers were going to shake hands, and one of them, I think the Bristol one probably, was like, no, he pushed him off. He's like, "I'm not shaking your hand." And then one of the Bristol players, or no, maybe it might have been the Millwall coach, and then he pushed him off, and then one of the Bristol players went up and pushed him, the coach for Millwall, and then everyone started, rushing in. And I didn't see any punches thrown. It was mostly just like rugby scrum style brawl, but it was entertaining still. What do you think about this match?
Nope, I thought it was a 1-0 Millwall win. Honestly, Millwall, the underdogs taking the win. That was the biggest story to me. I didn't really watch anything that mattered or thought,
Underdogs. What are you talking
Millwall plus
about?
230 to win this.
Oh, by the odds. Okay. So I was thinking by the table.
Well, they were also on the road.
True. True.
Next game, Carl would go to Vicarage Road where Preston North and hosted Wrexham in the 4th minute. Wrexham get on top. They're in the offensive third when James McLean sends in a cross. An impressive Preston North end D whiffs on and keeper Moore taps in the backdoor goal. 1-0 for Wrexham. Spuds Bros. Come back, get on the board in the 81st minute when the ball pinballs around the Wrexham box and Harrison Armstrong is a beneficiary, putting Preston North End at 1-1, and that's how the game would end, Carl.
Yeah, for a one game, I watched the highlights. This was a great match. Like, there was a lot of action. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it was kind of a tale of two halves, though. I did notice it, but it was a lot of Wrexham in the first half, and then I
Yeah.
didn't see a whole lot of them in the second. But they might have just been parking on that 1-0 lead, which might have bit them in the ass if that's what they were doing.
Wrexham did have a goal line clearance. Love it. Okonkwo, the goalie
Oh,
for.
the big time, and it was the same guy who got the goal.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was huge. Like, but the Okonkwo, the goalie for Wrexham, was absolutely playing his ass off in that second half. He was flying all over the place. And
Yeah, he's the Arsenal loanee, I believe.
and much like people that are NFL fans have a soft spot for white cornerbacks, I have a soft spot for black goalies. So that's I was rooting for him very hard.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
So he's like the white punter.
What?
The white punter of
White
the
punter, yeah.
NFL.
Aren't most punters white?
Or excuse me, black punter.
Black
Sorry.
punter, yeah. What was that guy, Marquette King, that played for the Raiders? You remember him?
Yeah.
Anyway, and the Preston goalie also had an incredible double save,
Yep.
where he dove full stretch and tipped it outside. Thierry Small hit the post, and then this game. The announcers did say second bite of the cherry. So we're getting a lot of second bites of the cherry.
It's a lot of second bites of the cherry.
Yeah. So, but I really enjoy, like, sometimes when I'm watching these highlights, like, I drift off or I, fast forward it, to where I think their action's going to be. And this one, no, I was entranced for the whole thing. So good job, Preston and Wrexham.
All right, Carl, let's go to Portman Road, where Ipswich Town hosted Coventry. Carl, big surprise here. Although I have the before the game odds, Coventry was +205 straight up on this, so maybe we shouldn't be surprised, but I don't know what Vegas saw that we didn't. 43rd minute, Ipswicher crossing the ball back and forth through the box and finally gets sent to the top of the box where Sindre Wale-Ageli was there to send it home. The Ipswich Town go up 1-0 in the 60th minute, just like Montana to Rice. It's Nunez to Hurst for Ipswich. A high long ball leads to the breakaway goal, 2-0 in the 90 plus 5. Ivan is on, takes the ball down the left side and bends one in the far corner. 3-0 Ipswich Town over Coventry in this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, we haven't seen, excuse me, Coventry get handled like this yet. But Ipswich, they're climbing up, they're getting up there in the table.
Again, Carl, I put the odds on. We didn't go through the odds. We were a little late last week, but Coventry was +205. Like, they knew something. Like,
Yeah,
I don't know if it was a suspension or what.
I'll have to read the match report.
The bookmakers put them as heavy underdogs to Ipswich, and Ipswich proved them right. I'm glad I didn't make a bet on that because I would have bet the house +205. Coventry, are you kidding me?
Oh yeah, no, that's yeah, you think you got the money in your pocket already. But yeah,
I
I
would have
don't
spent it and had to owe him.
know. Yep, been there before. Yeah, I wonder what they knew. I'm not sure. I'd have to read the match report and see if there's any hijinks happening. But yeah, that man, that stadium was freaking packed. Like, there was not an empty seat in the house. It looked like a Lambeau Field playoff game. Like, it was it there was yeah, like, usually with these matches you'll see a few empty seats sprinkled about. But nah, man, this was like maybe this year, because like last year, Ipswich struggled in general because they got relegated, but they struggled at Portman Road, which I thought they were gonna, be tougher at. And maybe this year they figured out how to defend their home turf, and they're gonna
Well,
be.
it might be big Ipswich, and also Coventry's coming to town.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a possible one too. Like Ipswich have had a slow start, but they've been coming on lately. This is a possible 1-2 for the promotion into Premier League next season.
Yeah, and I think I picked Ipswich to get promoted, so
I believe you did.
I'm looking forward to their ascent. Now I just need Birmingham to get their shit
I
together.
had Coventry +400, so fuck you.
Fuck you back with a wiffle ball bat. Make your pussy go quack, quack, quack.
All right, Carl, we moved to Bramall Lane, where Sheffield United took on your Stoke City Potters. In the 10th minute, Sheffield's Mark McGuinness gets a nice header off a corner to go up 1-0. In the 40th minute, Sheffield have another corner that finds Femi Seriki, and he dead-eyes this one top corner. Kind of a put a star on that one. Kind of an impressive goal. 44th minute, Stoke don't play any D, and a cross finds Patrick Bamford for the header. Sheffield are up 3-0. In the 75th minute, little give and go from Sheffield's Andre Brooks and Tyrese Campbell. The second pass from Campbell, a beaut that causes Stoke D to commit a foul in the box. United get the pen. Siddy Peck gets it 4-0. Carl, I know you don't really want to talk about it, but there are some ones. The dead eye shot from Siriki, and I want to talk about that give and go from Brooks and Campbell.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Oh, you have no say.
No, I told you I boycotted the highlights. I said I'm not watching this massacre of my boys. Like, no way. Why would I subject myself to this? But I did see Siriki is was the man of the match, 8.57 rating on BBC. So I'll watch that goal and just kind of watch it through my fingers. And yeah, I mean, what else you gotta say about it?
No, I think you need to watch it. I think the audience wants to hear your reaction to it.
You want me to watch it? You want me to turn it on and watch it right now?
Yeah, why not?
Motherfucker, you just like seeing me in pain.
You got something else going on right now?
I've got a lot of YouTube to catch up on, but I guess I'll d delay it to watch this bullshit.
So you saw him.
Yeah, I put myself through that torture and watched Sheffield United run amok. And yeah, I mean, what's his name? Siriki. Yeah, that was a like you were saying, he put a. He saw the top corner is like he called a shot and pointed. I mean, he may as well have pointed at it and just
Yep,
it's
exactly.
going right there. I think he said it's like he was at practicing a free throw for him. So nice goal, yeah. And yeah, that last one that led to the penalty. Yeah, like you said, the back heel from Campbell. The betrayal, the absolute betrayal. My son, I'm
Well, he
officially.
didn't score, so you didn't have to see whether or not he saluted his crest or not. He didn't have to do the silent goal scoring
Right.
against his team
Right.
because he didn't score.
I think that's interesting how they do that in soccer, 'cause like no other sport does that I watch. Like
No.
everyone like
Dude,
doesn't fucking matter. Like they'll celebrate
I
even
play with the
harder.
Giants and I go to the Pirates. I hit a home run against the Giants. I'm giving you a 13 bat flip salute. Are you kidding me? I'm fucking flipping that bat so fucking far, so fucking high. Like, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it also, I think it also depends too, like, because In soccer, you don't really like you don't get really traded. It's like you leave on your like the
So it should be mutual most times. Like, you know what I
yeah.
mean? It's like, hey, you know what? You're a commodity. We got a really good deal on you. I know, like, it sucks moving your family, but you guys are going to make more money now. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
it should be one of those things where it's like, yeah, this is mutually beneficial. You
Yeah.
know what I mean?
Totally. But yeah, I didn't know they did that sometimes in soccer until recently, and that watching a game and someone scores against their former club, and yeah, they don't celebrate, and then I was just like, he's not celebrating out of respect for his
Nope,
former
not a
club.
chance, dude. I'm flipping that bat so I'm to Carl, grab a pen next to you, flip it as hard as you can, count the rotations, and I'm gonna double that with a bat when I fucking go. Dude, I might bring my own bat to work next time I get a new job just so I can bat flip the fuck out of there. Like, I'm to my last day, I'm just like, later, bitches.
Fuck you, fuck you. You're cool, fuck you. Bat flip.
Amen to that. All right, Carl. Next game.
Now we're done.
Okay, then we need to look at standings. Carl, Coventry, even with that loss, still at 43 points, way ahead of Middlesbrough at 36. That's 1-2. Millwall, Ipswich, Preston, Stoke, barely hanging on, Carl, to that final playoff spot, right on their ass. Bristol, Birmingham, Hull, Rangers, Southampton, Wrexham is in the talk. Watford and Leicester still around. Carl, sad to say, Sheffield Wednesday still at negative 10 points.
Yeah, they could be it. They could hit the negative triple digits depending on what happens going forward. Like we could see I want to see like negative 100.
No, that means people aren't getting paid.
Yeah, well, I mean they should be getting paid now, right?
Well, then they wouldn't be getting docked points if they could pay people.
But I thought so I don't fully understand this under administration shit. Like, 'cause you said that it's not like the NBA where the league takes control. Like who has control now? Like, 'cause they said he's not the owner anymore. I don't know.
You know what, Carl? I wasn't prepared for this discussion. I'm so sorry. I wish I had answers for you. Let's make it a topic of note for next week, and I can have some research done on this. I have no idea, dude.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know either. I'm clueless on the subject of how that works, but yeah, I'm so yeah, there's just different shit flying around, and I'm not sure
No,
what.
I'm interested in this too. No, I'm with you. Let's do some research. And let's call next Sunday. Let's not do the midweek. If we do a midweek show, we won't count that. But next week, let's see if we can do something with that. In the meantime, I do have a question for you. We were running with the Steel City relegation, but now that that's gone, I scrolled a championship Reddit today.
No, yeah.
Yeah, and someone brought up the term the championship belt of championship. Do you know what the belt means in this situation, Carl?
I don't for sure, but I'm gonna take a stab at it because
Yeah, I think you'd be right. I think you'd be right.
I think it's finishing 12th in the league.
No.
Oh, okay. What
That may be okay, so I want to do clarify one thing. That may be true in two different interpretations, but that's not how I interpreted it.
Okay, what is it? 'Cause I got no more guesses.
So I look at the belt as there's one team that holds the belt until they lose, and the team that beats them wins the belt, and then the team that beats them wins the belt. And so on and so forth, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's like the first place team,
Yeah,
like
it's just whoever had the belt last.
whoever is the last win, right?
Yeah,
So
who
I saw Ipswich beat Coventry, so they hold the belt.
Oh, good for
And that
them.
was the first thing I thought of. And I want to introduce the belt. And so starting next week, I want to go back. I think I'm going to do a 1992 version or 1993 version of the Royal Rumble. And I'll just let everybody start at zero and the last team with a loss. Which might be, or I have no idea. Could be Coventry, I'm not sure. But and then that person start or that team starts with the belt, and then that's a side note that we have every week.
So we're gonna do our own belt.
We're gonna have our own belt.
Okay, I like that. It's kind of like, that's like in boxing, the lineal champion.
No,
You
explain it
don't.
to me.
It's the same thing. Like in combat sports, where champions are determined by challenge. The lineal champion in a weight class represents an intangible world title, first held by the victor of a bout between top contenders in the division. The fighter who defeats the reigning champion in a match within the same weight class becomes the next lineal champion. That's informally known as the man who beat the man. So I guess it's like,
It's like the fucking hardcore champion. Anytime, anywhere.
Exactly.
All right, Carl, let's take a look ahead at next week's action. We have a double fixture. We start Tuesday at Vicarage Road, where Preston North and heavy underdogs hosting Coventry. Carl, this is a DraftKings match of the week. Straight up, Coventry minus 105, Preston North N plus 275. Draw on that one. Plus 265, Carl.
Yeah, I mean, even though Coventry got the shit kicked out of them by Ipswich last week, like, it's still hard at this point unless they start showing these poor performances regularly to go against them, I mean, Spud Bros are they're a tricky team sometimes, but I think. And I don't know. I think if I bet on them, they would blow up in my face. So I'm gonna go. What's the draw no bet on Coventry?
On Coventry is minus 215.
You know what? Give me the draw for $50.
All right. I am taking Coventry.
Yeah, you.
I am so glad I didn't bet last week. I'm gonna keep riding Coventry even with the odds. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, it's,
What did you
every
draw at? Plus 265. I'm doing $100, minus 105, straight up.
All right.
Carl, next game we go to the Valley where Charlton hosts Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough, big favorites on the road. Charlton plus 235, Middlesbrough plus 120. What say you? Not a DraftKings match of the week.
Yeah, this is kind of the opposite of the Coventry. Betting we were doing, like, Coventry looked bad last week and Middlesbrough looked really good.
Really good.
Yeah, but it is on the road in Charlton. Let me look at the table again. Yeah, well, no, Charlton are pretty far down. They've lost four in a row.
Yep.
So yeah, if I had to bet, I'd probably take Middlesbrough straight up. What about you?
Yeah, probably the only other odds, plus 140 Charlton on the draw no bet. That's the only other thing I take, but even Charlton at home on Middlesbrough right now, I think I have to take Middlesbrough. So
Yeah.
glad I don't have to bet this one.
Same.
We move Sunday to Portman Road, where Ipswich Town hosts your Stoke City. Carl, this is a DraftKings match of the week, and this is a big time favorite. Ipswich Town minus 155 straight up. Stoke City plus 425 straight up. Let me get you the draw odds real quick. +300 for the draw. Carl, this is your team. Sometimes I'll take the lead, but this one I gotta give it to you.
Man, those odds are so nice. And I mean, you know, I had a whole thing where I was like, all right, if I lose, get burned by Stoke 3 times in a row, I'm not betting for them. But I just can't bet against my boys. Like, I can't straight up. I don't know if I can go that far. Draw is kind of enticing with this one as well.
+300 on the draw. You might want to take Stoke straight up and the draw straight up, and then you know you win either way. The only way you can lose is if Ipswich wins.
So put a certain amount of money on one of them and then put a different amount of money on the other one. What do you think?
Whatever you want on either one, they're both +300. They're both 3-1 minimum. So you have
Yeah.
three bets, three units to
Yeah.
work with.
Yeah, I don't.
So if you put one unit on each, you know you're at least getting double your money if one of them wins.
Yeah, I mean that's a sound strategy. But you know what? I'm a maverick and I'm picking one bet and sticking with it. And I'm gonna go with $50 on Stoke straight up.
Straight up, that's I already put you at Stoke. I knew that. Straight up. I'm gonna take my own advice. I'm gonna go $50 straight up and $50 on the draw.
Yeah, no, the
I'm
smart
gonna
strip.
bet against Ipswich.
Yeah, and if Ipswich wins, then we get nothing. But I mean, that's betting for you.
Thank you, Carl, for explaining betting to me. Really appreciate that.
You pick the winning team,
Pretty sure I did real good right now. Don't need you.
I mean, you're not doing that great.
Still beating you, bitch.
But what's that's like being the tallest midget.
You can't say that.
Say what?
It's the most height positive midget.
You just told me I couldn't say it, and then you just said it.
You
Come
missed it.
on, practice what you preach.
You missed it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
All
Well, let's move on.
right, next game we go to iPro Stadium where Derby take on Millwall. This is not a DraftKings match of the week, but Derby is the favorite at home, +145 straight up, Millwall +210. What say you, Carl?
Yeah, if I was gonna bet on this one, which I don't think I will, I would probably go. This is definitely one I could see a draw. I feel strongly that a draw could definitely happen. What about you?
Yeah, I'm looking up the -140 draw no bet, +110 Millwall draw no bet. I think I take Millwall on the draw no bet. Millwall has been playing really good football lately. I like them for the win, and I like the draw insurance on the draw no bet.
Yeah, I think that's probably a decent play. Millwall, you know, even though they're kind of high up there now, they're not really a high scoring team.
No, but they've been winning, and Derby has been up and down. This is one of those games where I wouldn't be surprised either way. But if I'm gonna put some money, maybe I'll put a flyer on Millwall +110 draw no bet. Actually, I think I am. $50.
Okay, there we go.
All right, next game we'll go to Ashton Gate, where Bristol City hosts Leicester City. Carl, this is a DraftKings match of the week. Bristol City home favorites +130, Leicester City +205. Draw on that one's going to be +245. Carl, who you got in this one?
I mean, both of their forms have been kind of up and down lately. Only 2 points separate them, so it's not like one team is really outpacing the other. I think I did pick Leicester City to get promoted, so I'm gonna ride that horse and I'm gonna go $50 on Leicester, draw no bet. What about you?
There's only one team I like less than Leicester right now, and it's Bristol City.
A tough call.
Let me input yours real quick. 50 bucks, draw no bet. Sorry. +120. You said draw no bet on Leicester, right?
Yep.
Yep, +120. Good odds. Yeah, I think this is my $25 draw.
Okay.
I have no faith in either. +245. It's actually not great odds for the draw, but
Yeah. What if you
I'll
think it?
still take the +245. Just because I don't want to bet on either team, because they both do me wrong every time. So.
Yeah.
What did I say? $25. Sorry, I didn't put the money in there. Okay. And last game of the week, Carl, we go to MKM Stadium, where Hull City take on Wrexham. Another DraftKings match of the week. Hull City slight favorites +135 at home. Wrexham +195, +255 on the draw, Carl. Who you got in this one?
Like this is at the race course.
This is at the race course. No, this is at MKM. Excuse me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, Hull City just got their skulls bashed in by Borough at home.
Wrexham is working their way to the top of the table.
Yeah, you know.
They might be in the playoffs. Like,
They
I don't want
could.
to say it, but they might be in the playoffs when it's all said and done.
What's Wrexham draw no bet?
Draw no bet on Wrexham is +115. Good odds. You get positive
Yeah.
odds on that.
Yeah, give me Wrexham draw no bet $50. I mean, that's I like the way they looked against the Spud Bros, even though they only drew. I like their goalie, as I said before. He looks,
How many? $50?
yeah, 50. And they drew at Preston, which is a top five team. They seem to be rounding into form. Like they got off to a bit of a slow start, but I really like the form they're coming into. So I'm gonna ride that bus. What about you?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna put $25 on the draw again.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah. That's not. Let's see.
+255, another one that's not great odds. But I like the way Wrexham is moving. I think your $50 bet's a good bet, honestly.
Yeah, those
But
odds
I
are nice.
think I can squeeze a draw out of this with Hull at home, and I can get better odds. I like your bet, but I think I can get some better odds on the draw.
Yeah. Preston North End. They're pretty and Wrexham, they're pretty similar with the goal differential. I mean, Wrexham
For now,
Preston.
this might be a case where Wrexham like tears and starts going to the top, and Preston like comes back to reality, because Preston's not supposed to be here. Let's not forget this.
I mean, normally I'd agree with you, but
Preston is not supposed to be here, Carl.
I mean, but like They do have like a guy like Thierry Small, who's like a
We know.
that
With
guy.
the spread, the Spud Bros have Thierry Small. We know.
God, that guy is so good. Like he's like
Oh.
that guy is a Premier League player
And
for
we're
sure.
about to get into the winter. We're about to go into the fucking icy pass. You know what I mean? Like this is, we're about to find out how good some of these players are.
Yeah, I mean I want to look at the goal leaders. Maybe next week we could look at the goal leader list and predict who's gonna finish at the top.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. I wouldn't mind going over last season's list too and seeing what happened after that.
Oh, Borja Sainz, Josh Maja, what
Josh
happened?
Maja,
Our boys from the beginning. Those were the
man.
our first loves.
Yeah.
Never forget them. You never forget your first love.
All right, Carl, time to move on to the Premier League.
Hit the music.
In the 17th minute, Man City are pressing and across to Erling Haaland, and it whizzes one past the goalkeeper's head, putting him up 1-0 in the 37th minute. Haaland makes a great pass up the middle for Tijani Reinders, who has a one-on-one with the keeper to go up 2-0. In the 44th minute, Fulham keeper can't clear the ball out, and Phil Foden makes them pay for it. Man City up 3 at this point. Finally, in the 45 plus 2, this time it's Man City who can't clear, and a nice ball to Emile Smith Rowe finds his head and in the net. 1 for Fulham. In the 48th minute, right out of halftime, Man City counterattack, and Phil Foden has a brace, giving them a 4-1 lead. In the 54th minute, another bad clearance from Fulham leads to Jeremy Doku putting a shot off Sander Berge for the own goal. Man City up 5-1 at this point in the 57th minute. Fulham on the offensive, and Alex Iwobi finds the ball at the top of the box and lasers one in. Second goal for Fulham. Fulham press the box in the 72nd minute, and Samuel Chukwueze puts a big boot on it and in 3 for Fulham. In the 78th minute, Chukwueze again finds the ball loose at the top of the box and blasts another one home for his brace. Unfortunately, Fulham can't get that final fifth goal. They'll lose this one 4-5 to City.
Whew. Now that we can say a
That's a nice
nine
little thriller.
goal thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was never like tied or anything, so it's not like,
Yeah, it's not full-time thriller, but
yeah.
you know, that second half, especially with Fulham coming back, that makes for some exciting football.
Yeah, it was fun to watch, definitely. And yeah, Fulham, they definitely woke up and gave Man City a bit of a scare. Erling Haaland, the fastest to 100 goals ever.
Yep.
He had one off the post before that, like right before he scored.
Yeah, and he had the assist on the second one.
Yeah, so congrats to Ole Erling.
Yeah.
Foden, second brace in a row. He's hot right now. So if he continues to produce, like Man City's gonna be tough to beat.
They're letting in a lot of goals this season, though.
Yeah, they are. They're the Golden State Warriors of there was only one save in the entire match. And there was 10 shots on target between the two
Yeah.
teams. So yeah, only one got saved. So yeah, that'll lead you to a high scoring match. But it was fun.
All right, Carl, let's move Wednesday to the Turf Moor, where Burnley took on Crystal Palace. In the 44th minute, Crystal Palace slowly bringing the ball into the offensive third, and Mark Guéhi makes a beautiful cross to Daniel Munoz, who heads it in for the only goal. 1-0 Palace in this one.
Yeah, not too much to say about this one. There was a play. I like these sequences that happen where there's like six hitters in a row. Like they just keep hitting it back and forth to the other team. And there's one of those in this one. Yeah, just the Gehee cross. Palace keeps trying to stick around in the playoff spots. Let's see. Yeah, Burnley kind of won most of the statistical categories, but so I guess that's Palace feel fortunate to get out of there with all 3 points instead of just one.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna go where my note on this Burnley kind of looks like they're slowly free falling.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them to stay up. I mean, I always thought it would be. I'm pretty sure I picked them for relegation. But yeah, these I mean, Palace is playing the best they've played in who knows how long. But you want to defend that turf more, at least get a point out of it, especially if you outplay the other team. So disappointing, and yeah, Burnley is struggling. Struggling.
Struggling. Yeah, you did definitely have Burnley getting relegated at the beginning of our year bets. So, all right, Carl, next game. Let's go to Mullinell Stadium where Wolves hosted my Nottingham Forest, knocking on the door in the second half. Finally, Forest break through. For in the 72nd minute, when Igor Jesus gets his head on a nice cross. Another 1-0 game in this one, Carl.
Another much needed win for Nottingham to try to stay up.
Got to beat the bad teams.
Yeah, just beat the bad teams, and if you can get beat the bad teams on the road too, like just collect those points, and then hopefully you can sneak out some games against some better teams. Igor Jesus had a missed header, and then he got one right after, then that was taken away for offside. And
That was the one I thought you were talking about initially, but I remember that.
yeah, why was the guy Ndoye standing where he was? Like, he was the guy called offside.
Offside, yeah. I
And
don't know. I don't know.
it's like, you're gonna be offside. You're right in the way of the keeper. You're everyone else is miles in front of you, like, or behind you. Like, dude, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, at least get down, make it look like you're not, interfering.
Yeah, at that point, if you're gonna stand that far up, just when the ball comes in, just start running away towards the corner or something.
Just make it so it's like, hey, I wasn't trying to interfere,
Yeah,
I'm with you.
but then Igor Jesus finally, the saga of Igor Jesus came to an end when he got his goal, and he actually got punched in the head on the goal by John Stones.
He did.
So John Stone was like, "Well, if I'm not gonna be able to stop the goal, I'm at least gonna inflict some punishment on you." So,
I want to say Jesus is our highest scorer this season. Let's see.
I don't know. Looks like he's only got one goal. Morgan
What was I looking at then?
Gibbs White has three.
Yeah, even Chris Wood has two. I haven't seen. Where's Chris Wood been?
I know. He was all over the place last year. Like, I couldn't stop hearing his name, and now it's.
There's no injury report on him.
Weird.
Well, maybe that's the change we needed. Who knows? All right. Anyway, Carl, let's move to Elland Road where Leeds hosted Chelsea in the 6 minute Leeds. Xhaka Bijol has an amazing header off a long throw into the box. Leeds go up 1-0 in this one in the 43rd minute. Leeds just getting into the offensive third when Ayo Tanaka sees his moment and strikes from way out. Carl, what an impressive goal that was for the 2-0 lead. Finally, in the 50th minute, Chelsea gets some pressure and Pedro Neto receives a nice cross and goes oppo foot on the second touch off the keeper in the short side. Really nice goal again here from Chelsea. And then in the 72nd minute, Chelsea D get lazy and Leeds take advantage. And a clusterfuck of events leads to Dominic Calvert-Lewin in the box in front of the net. And the Leeds take this 3-1, Carl.
Yeah, wow. What a win for them. Yeah, the Tanaka rocket. Wow, that was a great shot. I love that one. I had my note. I had great D by Chelsea on the Calvert-Lewin goal. They really fucked that one up. And then I for this match, instead of watching the EFL highlights, I watched the Leeds TV
Oh, really?
highlights. Yeah, they're pretty good. I'm not gonna say they're on par with AJ and Jez from West Brom, but they do give you some definite homerism and emotion. So
Yeah, well, this is a huge game for them to win.
and I knew that they had won 3-1, so I was like, all right, let's check out this Leeds TV. I bet they go absolutely ape shit, and they
Yeah, that's a
did.
good call.
So when a like a kind of underdog team wins a match, especially at home, like, or it doesn't matter, it could be on the road, but that's a good time to watch the home broadcast, because you'll probably get some
Yeah, get some belters.
or if they get blown out, that's also just hear them get mad.
These poor boys, I'm gonna be sick.
Yeah, but impressive for Leeds to score 3 goals with only having 29% possession. Jeez.
What
But
do
they I
they?
mean the shots were even, so they must have just been playing counterattack ball.
Well, I only have Leeds playing counterattack definitely because I show they had more shots and then but Chelsea only had two shots on target the whole game with 71% possession.
Yeah, that's not great.
No. All right, Carl, let's move Thursday to Old Trafford where Man U hosted East Ham United. No score in the first half, but some really good chances for Man U. Finally, in the 58th minute, Man U are in the offensive third, but not really pressing. A pass back gets deflected to Diogo Dalot, who kicks it off the East Ham keeper to put Man U up 1-0. And this one in the 83rd minute, Man U equally shit the bed on defense when East Ham have a corner and every Manchester United defenseman and or keeper commits to the ball and finds Sungotu Magasa for the easy tap in behind everyone. East Ham escape 1-1 in this one, Carl.
Wow. It's gonna be another ding in Amorim, the United manager's armor, drawing
He's
it
been
home.
doing better lately, but that was disastrous.
Yeah, he's gonna have to recover from that one quick, otherwise it's the heat is gonna start to turn up again very fast. Because you can maybe survive one of those like pressure situations where the fans are turning against you, but a second one, usually the board or the owner usually has to make a move.
Yep, they're still in Champions League position. They're not currently in a spot to make Champions League, but they're only a few points behind. So I think as long as they're in that race, they're not going to make a move. But yeah, you can't have too many blunders like that.
There's a fun play on a corner that Man U designed for Mbeumo, but there was a tip save by the goalie. West Ham had a goal line clearance. Magasa, after scoring, he had a successful knee slide, so good for him. He nailed it, one of the better ones I've seen so far this season. And you know what? Could possibly have you doing a knee slide? That's right. It's time to play Name That TV Channel. I am your host, former University of Michigan football coach Sharon Moore. I was going to take some time off after getting fired, but I need money to take care of both of my families. Tonight's contestant is Phil. Phil, you told me backstage that you were named Master of Ceremonies at this year's Eugene Pride Parade. What does an honor like that mean to you and your family?
Well, I still haven't told the family that they don't know yet. That I'm a master of ceremonies. They know I'm gay. No, it's an incredible honor.
You're gonna be like, no son of mine will be a master of ceremonies.
You're just gonna embarrass the name.
Well, great. All right, so high stakes again here tonight. If you can name that T-Mone TV channel, you will win an America Online starter CD, the gateway to
With
one of the
50
most
free hours.
the gateway to one of the most exciting ways to explore the internet, AOL. And here's how you do it. You enter the CD, which stands for compact disc, into your computer's CD drive. Then you install the AOL software, and you will be able to go online. You can have a buddy list, do instant messaging, and you even get your own email address. How does phil@AOL.com sound to you?
Can't wait.
All right, so let's play the game. All right, so the team for tonight's team-owned TV channel, Manchester United.
Okay.
Name that TV channel.
Okay, it's either dot TV or dot. What do they always do?
Give you a hint, there's no dot in it.
Red Devil's Net.
Wow, what a creative guess. But I'm sorry, it is incorrect. The correct answer, MUTV. MUTV. Well, unfortunately, Phil, you do not win the AOL starter CD. And you were having internet issues earlier. If you had AOL, you wouldn't be having these problems, but maybe you'll get another crack at it. All right, I'm Sharon Moore. And remember, if you can't come in her, come on her. And ripped from the headline.
Apropos. All right, Carl, let's move on to the weekend fixtures. We go to Hill Dickinson Stadium, where Everton hosted Nottingham Forest. In the second minute, Everton are pressing in. Kieran Dewsbury-Hall crosses one off of Nikola Milenkovic of Forest for the own goal in the 45 plus 3 Everton counterattack for a 3-on-1. Tierno Berry is the lucky lad that gets the last touch and puts it in 2-0. In the 80th minute, nice save from Forest keeper, but it goes straight out to Kieran Dewsbury-Hall, who has Everton's third goal of the game in his brace. Or no, he didn't get the goal in the first one because it was the own. But Dewsbury-Hall gets the third goal for Everton. They win this 3-0.
Yeah, definitely not one you're gonna want to remember for Forest. Did you watch this match?
No, I didn't watch it. I watched the highlights. We didn't look terrible. The
No,
goals were definitely bad, though.
had almost 60% possession, so you had the ball a lot.
Yeah.
But not super threatening. I mean, three shots on target to Everton's five, so that was not too bad. But yeah, Dewsbury Hall, I guess, is having a really good season as well. So Everton, between him and Grealish, some of the other guys are kind of got some guys in form. I mean, we haven't really heard Grealish's name in a minute after he started out so
Yeah,
hot.
he had that hot streak, but yeah, he's been a little quiet.
Yeah, but he'll come back at some point, I think. When the announcers said someone had two bites at it, but he didn't mention the fruit.
He
So
didn't tell you the cherry.
Yeah, he didn't tell me what fruit it was. I was like, two bites at what? And then Barry, after he scored his goal, another successful knee slide. So good job, Barry. But yeah, one to forget for Forrest.
Definitely, definitely. All right, Carl, let's go to St. James Park, where Newcastle hosted Burnley in the 31st minute. Bruno Guimarães sends in a beautiful corner at the outstretched Burnley keeper can't get his hands on, and Guimarães gets the Olympico going up 1-0 for Newcastle in the 45 plus 5. Burnley's Lesser Ogechukwu, excuse me, puts his arms up for the brace and impact of a Newcastle player, but unfortunately, a cross was sent in and the ball goes off Ogechukwu's arms for the Newcastle penalty, and Anthony Gordon rolls it in to go up 2-0 in the 90 plus one. Burnley gets some pressure on, sends the ball into the Newcastle box, and it goes off of Jacob Ramsey's arm for the Burnley penalty. Ian Fleming puts that one bottom corner. This game finishes 2-1 for Newcastle. Burnley had a chance in the like 90 plus two or whatever it was to square this one up, barely missing it. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that would have been, they would have, that would have been highway robbery to come out of that at
Yeah,
a
two
point.
goals in injury time
Down in
for
the end.
sure.
Yeah. So yeah, Newcastle got the points they needed, and yeah, Burnley came close. Yeah, the Olympico was pretty cool.
Yeah,
We
top
got.
corner, far side, man. That was a really nice goal. The keeper didn't have a chance. Got bumped a little, but that's how you got to play. And he wasn't strong enough to get through the screen and get his hands up. And that thing just went top corner.
And then so the guy who got the red card, Perez, this was his debut and he got sent off. It's not good. That's not how you want to introduce yourself to your teammates and your fans. Like, here guys, now you're fucked. All right, good to meet you. Good luck. But yeah, good solid win for Newcastle.
Yep, and Burnley keep on sliding like we talked about. All right, Carlos, go to Elland Road where Leeds United hosted Liverpool in the 48th minute. Bad passing from Leeds results in Hugo Ekitike interception, and he scores on the 1v1 with the keeper in the 50th minute. Another bad pass from Leeds as Connor Bradley sending in the cross for Ekitike again to go up 2-0. In the 70th minute, according to VAR, Liverpool's Ibrahima Konate makes a careless tackle on Wilfried Ignatow and Leeds are awarded the penalty. Dominic Calvert-Lewin converts on that one. 2-1 Liverpool. And this in the 75th minute, Brendan Aaronson brings the ball into the penalty area and dishes to Anton Stock, who slides to the center and snaps one into the net, squaring it up for Leeds. Liverpool get back on top, pressing in the Leeds. D is a little dummy fools the defenseman, and Dominic Szoboszlai cashes in, and he has a one-on-one with the keeper for the easy goal. But Leeds squared up late, 90 plus 6 minute, last minute quarter that can't be corralled, and Ayo Tanaka is far side and has a great strike on the ball, rescues Leeds out of this one. Big point, 3-3 final.
Yeah, lots to talk about in this one. Six goal thriller. None of the goals were in the first half. So it was like, you're like nil nil, like, okay, this is probably gonna end up 1-0 or something. And then we get six goals like in one
Six
half.
goals, a penalty. Yeah, there was definitely some action there. And of course, the late, the last minute miracle for the home crowd against the defending champions. Big time for Leeds.
Yeah, so I've got some real hard-hitting analysis here. Bad pass leads to Ekitike goal. Ekitike executed a successful but unsteady knee slide. He was kind of leaning to one side, almost tipped over. Anton Stock and Jaden Bogle did the rare double knee slide after scoring. Also, I will say Van Dijk had a header. It was Perry, the goalie for Leeds, made a great save on
Big time save.
Szoboszlai had a successful knee slide, and then Tanaka and Nanto finished it with a another double knee slide. So really a lot of good sliding action. They must have really wetted up the pitch for this one. So yeah, lots of fun had in this match, and I'm glad Le I'm liking how Leeds is playing right now. What about you?
I think Liverpool is not playing great right now, so that definitely helps. It's a good time to catch them. But Leeds, was able to come back, never led in this match, so
Yeah.
but you steal a point in the last minute, you're happy.
Yeah. Did you hear there's like more Mo Salah drama after the match?
Yeah,
Yes,
but I
I
heard he's back on the team. He didn't make the Champions League game earlier in the week.
Yeah, he's back in the team, but yeah, he's still kind of disgruntled and talking about it to the media. So we'll see where that goes.
I mean, I think they just gave him a contract too. They just renewed him, so.
Yeah, that never matters.
No, but it's interesting to see how much money that they're gonna owe him, or how much they're gonna make, the buying team this winter,
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Liverpool's got deep pockets though, so I'm not too if this was happening to like Brighton or something, I'd be like, oh shit,
Sure.
you're fucked. But yeah, Liverpool, I mean, they fuck, they just
Well, I mean, yeah. Who'd they lose? What's his name?
Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Alexander Arnold. They lose him, and then they just take that money and sign Alexander Isak from Newcastle. Like that's what they're gonna do.
Yeah, Isak, some other guy they signed for $100 million. Like, yeah,
Yeah.
like, yeah, they just don't give a shit. They'll burn through it because they know they'll
All right.
make it back.
Yeah. I mean, they're still close. I don't think they're going to win a championship, but they're still in the Champions League discussion. And I think they're still in Champions League. Obviously, they had a game this week, so that might ju they just might ch turn their focus to that.
Yeah,
Maybe look for an FA Cup win or something.
they could, they still have chances to win trophies for sure.
Yep. All right, Carl, let's go Sunday to Amex Stadium, where Brighton Hove Albion hosted East Ham United. In the 73rd minute, East Ham pressing on the counter, and a nice ball into the box for Jared Bowen flicks it past the keeper. East Ham go up 1-0. Another late finish in this one, Carl, 90 plus 1. Brighton Hove desperately trying to get the tying goal, and after some craziness in the box, Georginio Rutter is able to get one through the keeper's legs. 1-1 with some late drama, Carl.
Wow, yeah. East Ham. I thought they had it. I thought they had it.
Yeah.
Like I was like, man, this is like the Nuno effect is really happening. I mean, it's still a draw against Brighton on the road, so
Yeah,
that's
and
like
they've been up and down, but I think with them at least getting some points every now and again, and Burnley sliding. They are out of the relegation zone right now.
yeah.
Oh no, they're in that final relegation spot.
The last spot. Yeah, but they're definitely playing a lot better than they were at the beginning of the season.
For sure.
Yeah, so this match I was wet and wild. Just yeah, a lot of rain. Great double save at one point by the Brighton
Yep.
goalie Vermeulen. Great double save, and then
Yeah, got
I was
up
like,
immediately.
yeah, and then how did Bowen score that goal? He was like on his ass, and he just kind of like flicked it in like.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, how did, and that angle was tight. I was just like, how did he do that?
But he seems like he's the only guy scoring for East Ham right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's their guy. Like, he's their captain, and he's like, yeah, he's their man for sure. But yeah, West Ham still get, or East Ham still get a point, so not terrible.
Totally. All right, Carl, next game we go to Craven Cottage, where Fulham hosted Crystal Palace in the 20th minute. Palace with some tic-tac-toe passing, and Eddie Nketiah is in front and blasts it past the keeper to go up 1-0 in the 38th minute. Fulham with a little give and go in front of the Palace goal, and Harry Wilson sends it top corner to beat the Fulham keeper to square it up at 1 in the 87th minute. Palace have a corner, and Mark Gahey gets up and puts a great header on the ball, getting Crystal Palace the 2-1 victory.
Know what the hell's going on behind me? Guys throwing a bunch of loud shit away. Anyway,
I can't hear anything, if that
oh
makes you feel
good,
better.
good, yeah. So yeah, the tic-tac-toe for the Nketiah goal was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That one, I was like, this is definitely going to be the best goal of the game. And number five on Fulham totally blew the coverage on it. He went and followed the wrong guy and left Nketiah open.
Yeah, he was wide open.
Yeah, and the guy was on him, and then he just, I don't know what, he just decided to go run after someone else, and then I was like, what is he doing? And then but then Fulham's goal was pretty much just as good.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. Yeah. I love giving goes in soccer, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's just one of my favorites whenever I see it.
When they nail it, it's sweet to watch. Yeah. That's pretty much all I have on that.
Cool. All right, Carl. Let's go Monday to Molineux Stadium where Wolves hosted Man United in the 25th minute. United's Bruno Fernandes slips twice in the Wolves box, but on the second slip manages to get a boot on the ball and it goes in the 45 plus 2. Wolves are pressing and Jean-Rickner Bellegarde scores the first goal for Wolves since October. In the 51st minute, some nice passing from Man United leaves the Wolves D in the dust and Brian Mbeumo rolls one in the 62nd minute. United's Mason Mount sneaks past the Wolf D and on a set piece and is wide open for the goal, putting United up 3-1. And in the 79th minute, Wolves' Yerson Mosquera gets an arm on the ball and United are awarded the penalty. Bruno Fernandes converts that to win it for Man United 4-1.
Yeah, so I missed this one. I didn't get to see it,
No worries.
but
No
I
worries. It was okay. Like Wolves never looked like they were doing anything. They got the goal. I think I'm spacing on the Wolves keeper, but he probably had like the better part of the game, even though there were four goals for United. He had some pretty good saves.
John Stone.
I just specifically remember going like, oh man, what if that was Jose?
Still on the bench, still hanging out on the bench, so he's still there. At least he's in the substitutes, I guess. But I kind of want to watch not the whole highlights of this, but I would just want to watch the Wolves goal and see if the fans just go like crazy.
I don't think so, if I remember correctly. They did show, was it today's game or was it this highlight? Because I just watched the Wolves game, and they had a protest. It might have been today.
About what?
They don't like the ownership, and they a bunch of fans waited 15 minutes outside, and
Are the owners a canned tuna conglomerate company? Like,
is that I remember you telling me about one team that was. Is that
yeah,
Wolves?
Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. That's
Yeah, no, yeah, that's, I mean, they're in the Premier League. They're getting their ass kicked, yes.
they're getting smoked.
They're getting smoked, but I mean, sometimes that you're gonna have a shitty year like that if you're a small kind of a smaller club. But I mean, I guess it gets to a point to where, they're threatening to be historically bad. Like, it's not just like, oh, they kind of suck. But I mean, it's just like tune in this week to see how bad Wolves get slaughtered.
And and spoiler alert, they blow another one. All right, Carl, let's take a look at the standings. Wolves with their loss again, still 2 points on the season. Burnley above them with 10 points. East Ham United with 13 points. Those are the three teams in the relegation zone right now. Only two teams in striking distance, Forest and Leeds United both at 15 points apiece. Carl, let's take a look at next week's games. Let's go Sunday to the City Ground where Forest hosts Tottenham Hotspur. Carl, we made sure to get our bets in early on this one. We went heads up, $75. Of course, I took Forest and you took your Spurs. I got plus 150 straight up. You got plus 180.
Yeah, that's the odds for that are kind of interesting. I mean, Tottenham isn't great. Like they're not, and I don't think they're making another Champions League. I mean, they made it through not finishing high in the Premier League last year, obviously. And I don't think it's gonna happen this year either. But obviously we know Forest have had their struggles. This one is at City Ground. They have been playing better besides the last match under Sean Dyche. I think you have a good shot at this one.
All right, next game we go to London Stadium where East Ham hosts Aston Villa. Aston Villa heavy favorites in this, plus 105 straight up, plus 265 for East Ham. Who you got in this one, Carl?
Let me start over. I like how East Ham have been playing under Nuno. They've been a lot more competitive. Villa has recovered from their terrible start, and now they're up towards the
Yeah,
top.
they're playing really good.
Yeah, I could definitely see a draw in this one. I think I'd have to still stick with Villa, but I could see other things happening for sure. What about you?
Yeah, right now I'm probably going Villa, draw no bet to take that insurance, but there wouldn't be any odds in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Villa I think are going to be the stronger side. I want to say they've won five in a row. They're looking really good. Yeah, five in a row for
Yeah,
Villa.
five. Yeah, wow. Nice streak there. That'll shoot you up the rankings.
Big time. Next game, we'll go to the G-Tech Community Stadium where Brentford hosts Leeds United. Brentford, big time favorites in this, plus 100. Leeds United, plus 275 straight up. Who you got in this one, Carl?
I probably have to stick with Brentford. I think Leeds, yeah, they're kind of languishing near the bottom of the table, but they're out of relegation, but they're
Yeah,
still,
only by 2 points, though.
they had a big old losing streak that they snapped, and they've got a win and a draw in their last couple matches.
Against some good teams, beat Chelsea and drew
Tiny.
with Liverpool. So,
Yeah, that's impressive for
yeah.
sure. But yeah, and Brentford, yeah, Brentford's not that much higher. This is 15 versus 16 actually. So man, I mean, I don't know. Maybe what's the Leeds odds again? Draw no bet.
Plus two. Oh, draw no bet. Excuse me, I don't have that up. Give me one sec. Come on, there we go. Plus 175 for Leeds.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Leeds draw no bet might not be a bad bet. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say it's a good bet. On the road is the only thing I'd go away from. Yeah, you wonder how Brentford is such heavy favorites. They haven't had that great a form lately. Yeah, I think I like that draw no bet.
Yeah, I think Brentford is just has more pedigree as far as being able to be strong in the Premier League and finish, higher than mid tables, usually. So I think that the bookies are looking at kind of past results and past and I think they think that the average person is probably gonna be like, oh yeah, Brentford's probably got this, and they're not even looking at the standings and seeing how close they are.
And like you talked about form, the last two games, Leeds win draw, last two for Brentford losses. So
Yep.
did you want to put some money on this one?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay away too. I'm a little suspect of that line, but if Leeds end up winning this, me and you are definitely gonna wonder why we didn't pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, definitely, but nothing that hasn't happened before.
All right, Carl, it was a great week. Thank you so much. We had a ton of action this week. We got a ton of action next week. We're about to hit the halfway point and Boxing Day. So we're really getting into it. Thanks again for joining me this week. Thank you all at home for joining us this week. We'll see you again next week. Carl, say bye.
Everybody, all right, it's officially allowed to throw on Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas Is You." So go ahead and blast that shit from your car.
Been too late. I've been playing it for weeks.
Since Halloween.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
the Mariah Carey. I look forward to Christmas just because of Mariah Carey.
me too. All right. Well, anyway, bye, everybody. See you next week.
Bye-bye.